And good afternoon and welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm your host, Richard Dugan. We come your way every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. We archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and you can listen to any or all of the 170-some-odd programs that we've done in a little over 3 years, and we encourage you to do so. Share them with your friends or what have you. They're there for you to learn from and to have some fun with as well. They're not all serious, and we don't try to do that. We want to keep the joy and the fun and the laughter in life. That's really, matter of fact, I was talking with my good friend out of Utah, Salt Lake City. He just moved up there from Phoenix a few years ago and is recently married. He's actually a New Yorker, and he used to chide me about the baseball team, the Diamondbacks in Arizona, and how when they won the World Series in 2001, it was a fluke. So we used to have fun with that one. But I was asking him the question. He says, what's our purpose in life here? We were kind of musing over a lot of the things that we talk about on the program. And his bottom line for him, he says, I go out and I try to make people smile or laugh at least once every day. And I thought, wow. I mean, that's right under the same category as joy from what we've heard from some of our other guests in the past. So I certainly hope that we can all do that. I have to say that I found very little joy in my midsection of this day as we're broadcasting. I was doing some running around and some errands and things, and I had to do some backtracking, and I was not finding a whole lot of fun in all of this. And of course, my wife says, well, there's a reason why it's happening. I says, yeah, well, I haven't found the reason yet. I was still frustrated. But I have made it to this point where we're doing the radio program, Tell Me Your Story, and we're here to offer you different perspectives and ideas on the day, on what's happening in the world in terms of your life, why things are happening. Maybe our guest here on the program today can give me some insight as to why this backtracking business that I was doing today on my errand running is related to the title of her book, Invisible Roots: How Healing Past Life Trauma Can Liberate Your Present. And I have to say that I probably expended as much energy being frustrated and having to go through the process of backtracking and just the emotional trauma, if you will, or upheaval of doing that today, as if I had been fearful or worried. And I've been both in my lifetime, and both of them are exhausting. Well, let's bring on our guest, who is the author of Invisible Roots, Barbara Stone. She is a doctor, PhD, and I want to welcome you to our program.
Thank you, Richard, for inviting me. I'm so happy to be here.
Now, you have what I would consider to be a pretty nice a resume as far as your background in terms of presenting workshops. You're a public speaker. You're a psychotherapist. You also study deep psychology at the C.G. Jung Institute in Zurich, Switzerland, and you also hold a Ph.D. in clinical psychology from the Pacifica Graduate Institute. And your website is InvisibleRoots.com, where folks can find out about you, find out about the book as well, get further information. And help me if I can, because I've always had a little bit of difficulty sometimes differentiating or defining the two terms psychology and psychiatry. I know they're two different fields, but they kind of delve into, well, they delve into the human psyche at some level. Can you give us a little insight into that at this point?
Yes. A psychologist is someone who has studied the mind. A psychiatrist has to become a medical doctor first, and then they study the mind too. So they're experts in both the body and the mind, and that's why they're allowed to prescribe medication that can perhaps help stabilize mood.
Okay. Now, you're a doctor of psychology. Is that the correct term?
Yes, I have a doctorate in clinical psychology.
Okay. All right. But you're not a medical doctor.
No, I didn't study the body. I just studied the mind and the feelings. And what we find is when there are emotional troubles, that may tend to block up energy, and that does perhaps interfere with having good health.
Well, in your study of the mind, you obviously came to some conclusion somewhere along the way that it was tied to what a lot of people are looking into, and that is past lives. Although from my observations in my short little existence here on the planet, I've got enough to deal with just what happened in the last 50 years up to the present, let alone the last 500 or 5,000, if indeed I did live other lives in that time period past.
You have a very good point. The present moment is the important one, and our plates are so full. May I just comment on when you talked about backtracking earlier today?
Oh, yeah. I can laugh about it now.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm so glad you used that term backtracking, mm-hmm. because in energy psychology, which is the kind of therapy I do, there's a phenomenon that's called reversal. When actually the energy in your body flows backwards, it's as if you get in your car and you step on the gas pointed forward, but your car goes backward instead of forward.
That's not a good thing.
When we do that, then it seems like everything is going wrong. We wake up not feeling good, and the energy around the heart is actually rotating backwards. The energy around our heart should rotate clockwise. So we have a very simple intervention for that, and our listeners might want to try that. Just put your right hand on the midline of your body, palm on the midline, just under the throat, and make a circle going down to the left, down to the bottom, up to the right. And that helps shift your gear shift back into forwards when it gets going backwards.
Okay, well, I'll have to try that next time. I keep saying...
And we also add a statement that starts out, even though, and says what's going on and ends up with, I love and accept myself. So even though I had to backtrack all day and it was so frustrating and I wanted to pull out my hair, I love and accept myself.
So what we're doing is we're putting our attention back on self and away from the circumstances. Even though we're acknowledging what the circumstances are not me.
Right. Right.
Okay.
And love and acceptance are magic, especially when we do them for ourselves. When we accept ourselves the way we are, then we accept the beautiful package that our Creator made when He made each of us, or she made each of us, or they made each of us, however you conceptualize the divine.
Right. Now, there are several different schools of psychology, right? Jungian,
yes,
is just one of many.
Yes, and I was drawn to the Jungian one because it's, in general, the only one, when I started to study, it was the only one that included a transpersonal element in them. And I chose Pacifica Graduate Institute right next door to Santa Barbara because it was founded by Jungians, and they understood the interplay of the divine with the human.
Okay. As a matter of fact, that plays into the question I was going to ask you as to why you chose that one as opposed to all of the others. And when did you feel the draw, the calling, if you will, to psychology and to this particular profession? And we're going to tie in reincarnation in a moment. But first, let's get the basics here. What was the catalyst that drew you into this?
My first love was music, and I majored in music and taught piano lessons for 18 years, played in a jazz band. But when I was 30, I went through a divorce, and I went into therapy because I knew that if I didn't, I'd just make the same mistakes over again. And as I was working with a Jungian analyst, she said to me, Barbara, you're an intuitive person, and you're involved in a skill that requires sensation tasks, like getting all the notes just right in the music. She said, you're never going to feel really fulfilled in that because it's in your weakest suit. If you get a job using your intuition, you're going to flourish because it's what you're good at. And then I realized that when my piano students were there for their lessons, I really wanted to talk to them about how their lives were going. So I changed streams and did a Master of Social Work degree because that was the fastest way to get into the counseling field, and it also gave me a broader perspective. Then I went to Zurich, Switzerland for 3 years to study. Really, I wanted to figure out how humans work. And I can't say I fully have that all figured out yet.
Well, that's why we have you on. We thought you were going to give us...
But we are so intriguing. It just fascinates me what happens with the mind and the interplay with the body and with the spiritual world.
So in a nutshell, if you can share with us, what up to this point have you found? I mean, obviously, we jokingly say we were hoping to find the answers or unscramble the puzzle. What have you found?
I have found that there are influences that are invisible in our lives that impact us without us ever being aware that they're happening. It's a lot like back in the days of Dr. Semmelweis, who noticed that a lot of women were dying in the hospital of what they called childbirth bed fever. He postulated a theory that there was something on the hands of the physicians who rotated from doing autopsies to checking the newborn, the mothers who had just given birth, and they only washed their hands with soap. They didn't wash with an antiseptic. He postulated that it was something on their hands that was making these women die because the women delivered at home didn't get that fever. And everybody laughed at him. They ridiculed him, and they threw him out of the hospital. And they said, we can't see it. We don't believe it. Well, the microscope had not been invented yet. But once we did that and we could see the little bacteria running around there, then everybody believed it. The things that I work with are sort of like emotional bacteria. When there's been a wound, it stays on an imprint in your makeup. If your ancestors were wounded in a certain way, say the potato famine in Ireland, if your ancestors saw their families dying and then came over here, they might have a fear of starvation, and it might be really difficult for them to lose weight. They might not feel safe unless they had an extra 100 pounds of insurance against famine that they carried around with them.
Well, I guess we need to then go into the next level, and that is, how did you tie reincarnation into this? Because, you know, as I said before, you know, I've got 50 years of history already that I'm dealing with. I've created all of these different things over the course of time and in just a short 50 years. I sometimes think, boy, that's enough. I why do I need to go into these past lives? How did you tie those two together? Because reincarnation is really hard in some instances to convince people of or to prove or to put into some real tangible context for people.
Yes. Well, I came to that theory kicking and screaming. I did not want to believe in it. I was not raised to believe in it. I was sure from my early Christian training, we have one life, and at the end of that life, that's it. We're judged, and we either go to heaven or hell. But when I went into Jungian analysis, trying to really figure myself out, I was writing my dreams down every morning, and one morning I awoke and wrote down a dream that a scribe had read to me from a list of previous incarnations that I had been. Now, that dream got my attention because I believed that my dreams were God talking to me, but I didn't believe in reincarnation. So I recognized one of the names on the list. It was Simone de Beauvoir. And I looked her up and found out that she was still living. She was a French author. And I thought, ah, whew, that rules out that could be possible. I couldn't be her as a past life because she's still alive.
Uh-huh.
I found out later that, according to some of the teachers, we can have more than one incarnation going on at once. And, Richard, whether it's actual past lives or a tapping into the same universal principles, it doesn't matter too much because at the essence, we are all one. what Simone or anyone else does affects me. What we do affects everybody else. But I did notice threads in her life that are in my life, too. She was a writer, and what she wrote really knocked the socks off French society. She wrote a book called The Second Sex about women's rights. She was a rebel. She didn't conform to the normal standards. She never married. And she smoked a lot, and in this lifetime I have had no desire to smoke. But she worked with her pen to raise awareness. And I had known from the time I was little that I needed to write a book. I just didn't know what to write about until I got cancer while I was in my doctoral program. And then I wrote my first book on the emotional aspects influencing cancer survival. And that was 20 years ago, and I'm so healthy now, and I'm grateful, very grateful for my life.
Well, I find it interesting. What you said here in regards to reincarnation and that we can conceivably be living multiple lives, how is that different from other theories by other people that we're living parallel lives, and it's just where our conscious awareness chooses to focus as to which life we're more aware of, and somehow our brains seem to make some continuous flow out of it. In other words, it's not, I got a frame of this thing over here, and then I got a frame of this thing over there, and the two don't match, but they're all part of my multiple lives that I'm living, as opposed to what you're talking about, which is that we're sort of connected to other humans through sort of some kind of reincarnational ribbon or string?
It could be that. See, the theory is that time is really an illusion. When you go to quantum physics and when you go beyond quantum to scalar physics, scalar teaches that time goes forwards and backwards. So all of our lives are really happening right now. And when I was burned at the stake in a past life for healing people with herbs because the church didn't allow that, that trauma of being misunderstood, judged for what I was doing, I was trying to help people and they burned me at the stake for it, then that makes me afraid to really speak out my truth now. And when we heal that past life trauma, then we're set free to really be who we are. It's as if when we fail something, like say we plan a lifetime, this is the theory, we plan a lifetime, say I want to really master forgiveness this lifetime. Mm-hmm. So we plan a lifetime where we can do that. We come to Earth and then we have less than perfect parents, except they're perfect for what we wanted to learn.
Right.
And people abuse us in some ways and we get really mad about it and we forget that we planned the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we don't get it and do our forgiveness lesson, we get to come back another lifetime and do it again. It's like an internet test that you can take as many times as you want until you pass it. We get to keep coming back until we learn the lessons that our divine source is always with us. No matter how bad things look, that presence is there. We can call on it. That love is the only real thing. And that people are important.
Yes. Is it also not true? Is it also true that we can also choose to say, you know what? Okay, whether I passed it or failed it, I don't want to do it again. I've had enough. I'm either not ever going to get it or I don't want to get it. I don't care anymore to learn about forgiveness or patience or what have you. And I'm not coming back into this world again. I want to move on to something else.
I don't think that it's quite like that. That would be sort of like a fifth grader saying, I hate fifth grade. I've failed it, and I'm not going to do it again. I'm just going to go to college tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sequential spiritual learning that we have that we need to pass one stage before we can move on to the next. Now, if you want a really far-out idea, here's one.
Okay.
Maybe there is choice in the spirit world of whether we incarnate on the planet Earth or some other dimension. I have heard people say there are places that you can go where things aren't as violent as they are on Earth if you want just kind of a rest, like a vacation lifetime. But there's not as much opportunity to learn. And I've heard that Earth is the fastest place to learn and grow, and it's also a very exciting place to be right now as we're heading into the shift to the Aquarian Age.
Well, that's one of the things we're going to be talking about this month is 2012 and the Mayan calendar and that whole transitional period that we're going through, which will actually take us into 2011. And January 1st, we're going to be speaking with one of my favorite guests, Greg Braden, about his book Fractal Time and demystifying 2012 and all of those aspects. But we're going to save those conversations for that time. I want to ask you about your role as a psychologist and incorporating reincarnation. Let's say I were to come to you saying, you know, I'll use the example. Today was just ridiculous. I mean, had a good morning. I actually was able to sleep in until 9 o'clock. Very unusual for me. Woke up at 6, fed the cats, went back to bed, slept another 3 hours, which was fabulous. I loved it. And then got up and had a nice morning, and we did some things around the house, and then I left around 11:45 when the wheels started to fall off the cart, and I started to have backtracking. And I went through this process and the frustrations and so on and so forth, and then I come here, and I decompress, and I'm feeling much better and much lighter and so forth. I want to get a handle on, I'm coming to you as a client, I want to get a handle on what happened there as far as how I can better move through that next time that happens. Because invariably on this planet, in this reality, it's going to happen again.
Yes. Okay. I just have to say I'm a psychotherapist, not a psychologist.
Right.
Because I'm not licensed at the doctoral level.
Sure, I understand.
Those people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I would say if you were my client, you know, you brought up the subject of parallel universes before.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the teachers I've studied with is Richard Bartlett, who does talk about parallel universes.
Oh, yes.
And if you don't like the reality that's here right now, move to another one.
Mm-hmm.
If you came to Richard Bartlett, he might say something like, how would you like to create a parallel reality where things always work well? Wouldn't that be great?
Mm-hmm. Well, it might be.
It might be.
By the same token, I suppose, too, that a world like that we might get bored with fairly quickly if we've lived here. And we've had all of the various challenges, and some of the challenges aren't bad. I mean, they're not negative in that sense. They actually spur us forward to challenge ourselves, to create bigger and better and stronger and faster and so on and so forth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I would also talk to you about how your body felt and where was the trigger that made that first wheel start to fall off that cart.
Mm.
What happened and what was your response? How did your body feel? And then I would work with you to show you some self-help ways to turn around that response.
But how would you connect that to my past lives?
Well, not everything connects to past lives. I have a menu of things that I work with. And when someone comes to me, I muscle test. Are you familiar with applied kinesiology?
Yes, I am. I've used it quite often throughout my life.
Okay, all right. So I would muscle test what's at the origin of this problem someone's bringing me. If they have a headache and I muscle test the origin, it could simply be an emotion of frustration at a situation at work. It doesn't have to go into a past life.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a really far-out idea, which is an earthbound spirit attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the energy field of someone who died and got stuck between this world and the next one and attaches and links in to the energy supply of a living person. And then people tend to get the imprint of their emotional trauma. It could be an ancestral wound, that a grandparent died of brain cancer, mm-hmm. or it could be a lot of different things.
Okay. And we're going to talk more about that and how you tap into that information when we come back from our break. I'm Richard Doing This is Tell Me Your Story. InvisibleRoots.com is her website. Her name, Barbara Stone, PhD. And you're listening to Tell Me Your Story. Stay right where you are.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Well, close.
Yes, very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804. Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
You know what 2:30 in the afternoon feels like, right? You're sleepy, groggy, so you run for the coffee, grab a soda. But how long does that last before you're back for more? Try this instead. Take 1 5-hour energy, then see what the rest of your day feels like. It sure won't feel like 2:30 anymore. 5-hour energy. Hours of energy now. No 2:30 feeling later.
Individual results may vary. In a clinical trial, 5-hour energy significantly outperformed placebo on continuity of attention and self-related alertness. Neither 5-hour energy nor placebo affected blood sugar or mood. See 5hourenergy.com for more information.
CNN Radio.
CNN Radio's Pat Neal reports.
CNN Radio's Skip Loescher has more from Washington.
CNN Radio's John Bisney has the latest from Capitol
Hill. Kelly Arena has details from Washington.
CNN Radio's Dick Giuliano in Washington.
CNN Radio's Andrea Koppel reporting live from Pyongyang, North
CNN
Korea.
CNN Radio's John Bisney reports.
CNN Radio's Dick Giuliano has the story from Washington.
CNN Radio's Holly Furfer has more from Atlanta.
CNN Radio's Candy Crawley reports.
CNN Radio's Gary Baumgarten was there.
CNN Radio's Dick Giuliano has the story from
this
Washington.
This is CNN.
Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you.
It haunts me too.
Yes, and I do know how you feel. Oh, come on, walk with me. Talk with me.
Tell me. Your story, new paradigms for a new world. I'm Richard Doogan, and at this particular juncture in our program, we're going to pause and take a look at what is going on astrologically as well as astronomically with our astrological and astronomical assignment editor, Beth McDonald. And we are fast approaching that wonderful phrase we've been dealing with the last few weeks called retrograde, Mercury in retrograde. I know somebody who would say to me, I owned a Mercury in retrograde once, and, you know, it's a pretty nice car. But it starts the 10th, runs through the 29th. Question I have for you in regards to this business of degrees in the zodiac system.
Yes.
5 degrees in Capricorn to 19 degrees in Sagittarius. Can you give us kind of a primer on the concept of degrees?
Yes. It's a way of measuring space. And it's my understanding is it's similar to, you know, how we measure things at sea and on land. It's just the way we look at things up in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
The tricky part is, or the big difference, the hardest thing I think people have to wrap their heads around is that in Western astrology, there are 30 degrees for every sign. So if, for example, this Mercury retrograde starts in early Capricorn, it basically goes back 5 degrees and then crosses over into the 30th, or actually the 29th degree of Sagittarius. So it virtually moves backwards.
and the calculations.
Okay, and if I were to use the, I'll call it the analogy of the light spectrum, Capricorn, as an example, has 30 degrees.
Yeah.
And as you move, let's say, from left to right, zero degrees to 30, the hue changes as you get closer and closer to the next sign.
Absolutely. That's absolutely brilliant, and that's a very advanced concept. Most people don't get that till way later in the game, but you know, given how much time you spend dabbling in all these things, I'm not surprised at all. But yes, as you get closer to that borderline between one sign and another, the signs take on the attributes of each other. You know, as Mercury moves closer to Sag from Capricorn, it becomes more Sagittarian. It'll become warmer, more friendly, more jovial, more interested in partying, maybe less committed to its agendas and its disciplines, and vice versa.
We also have some other things going on. We just celebrated the start of Hanukkah.
Yes.
I had a wonderful education in Hanukkah, the Jewish holiday, several years back when I was wanting to learn more about it, thinking, oh, this is a great, big, neat holiday, and this looks like fun, not so much because of the 8 gifts in the 8 days, but because it was taking 8 days and so forth. And then I found from one of my Jewish friends, this is sort of one of the minor days in the Jewish calendar. It's not a big deal.
It's not as big.
Right.
It's not as big.
It's important, but it's
important.
Not. Right. And then we also have the sun moving into Sagittarius, and that has to do with basically until, what is this, until the solstice?
At the 21st.
When there's an eclipse?
There is a total lunar eclipse on the 31st. And that is a time when more is revealed. And what I've been telling all my regulars this week, actually, I've had a lot of people calling in about past life regression. So this interview with Barbara and your message, Barbara, is so timely. You know, the Mercury retrogrades are a very good time to be mucking about in your own unconscious and your own past life or other life, other dimensional life. Experiences, and especially as we get towards the lunar eclipse. I had people who wanted to actually schedule on that very day. It's a more powerful day for doing that kind of work. So,
interesting.
Very interesting. Very
and
interesting.
People can get a hold of you, Beth, at BethMcDonaldConsulting.com.
Yes, here
so
in Santa Barbara.
Encourage people to do that to get further information, and we will be talking with you next week as we start our deepening conversation into 2012, through 2012.
Excellent.
All right.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Richard. Thank you, Barbara. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
And this is Tell Me Your Story. We'll be right back.
If you're looking for a general contractor to hang a door or build your multi-million-dollar facility, talk to Armstrong Associates that specializes in both residential and commercial construction. I'm Steve Cushman, president of the Santa Barbara Region Chamber of Commerce. We're proud that Armstrong Associates, a 5-time Builder of the Year award winner, was recently named one of the 20 fastest-growing companies in the Tri-Counties. Armstrong Associates provides a broad range of building, consulting, and construction services for simple to elaborate commercial and residential projects. They specialize in green building construction, and they excel at assisting architectural firms with timely, cost-efficient design and budget criteria, while working closely with clients, government agencies, and the general public to ensure quality from start to finish. Looking for a general contractor who is dedicated to exceeding desires and expectations, contact Bill Shields at Armstrong Associates 569-6170 or armassoc.com.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and Fast Forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
I'm Richard Dugan, your host for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm here with Barbara Stone, PhD, author of Invisible Roots, and it has to do with tapping into past life memories and things of that nature to try to better understand why we are where we are and how we can get beyond those traumas, basically, to move forward from this moment to make new choices. And I'm wondering, though, Barbara, before we dive into the other issues we want to talk about, that brings me to the question, if we made all of these agreements, isn't there sort of a violation of those agreements to try to find a way out from underneath the traumas? Because isn't that part of what we're supposed to learn from?
Oh, that's an interesting concept, that we were here to suffer, and I actually am trying to let go of that belief, and I'm wanting to believe we are here to learn and transcend the traumas.
So, in other words, we made these agreements to go through these experiences, but not necessarily to suffer or what have you, but to have the experiences. So you're talking more about transcending the emotional baggage to be more of the observer?
Well, that's very close. My example is what happened to Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ on the cross was very badly abused, misunderstood, ridiculed, mocked, and killed. But he did not say, boy, are you all going to pay for what you did to me. He went through that just knowing that was why he came, so that he didn't beat up on himself and say, boy, did I get in a pile of mess, and stay angry with his perpetrators. He forgave them. He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And that's the lesson of forgiveness. It's not what other people do to us, but how we handle that. If we refuse to move into anger and rage and instead ask the Creator to forgive them, because really people don't know what they're doing when they get into their own darkness, then we have learned our lesson, and I hear we never have to do that one again ever.
Okay. Interesting. Now, you have a workshop that's coming up in January 2011 out in Florida for those people who might want to, and maybe they're listening to this program in the northern parts of the country.
Yes.
And they want to get out of the cold for a week or 10 days or what have you. You have a workshop that's coming up in Florida.
Yes. In Tampa, January 6 and 7 is a first level of my soul detective training. I call it soul detective because we use muscle testing to really figure out what's going on at the origin of a problem. And then January 8 and 9 will be the level 2 of my training.
And an interesting segue you have created there, because that is also the name of one of your other websites, which gives people more information, and that is
souldetective.net.
Souldetective.net. And they can get more information and as well as register for this workshop in Tampa, Florida on the 5th and 6th of January 2011.
Right, 6 and 7.
6 January and 7. 6 oh, and 6 7. And 7. Yeah. Okay. And again, if you want to find out about the book, it's invisibleroots.com. We certainly encourage you to check out the book or go to, again, souldetective.net. And you've also associated with somebody here locally in Santa Barbara who is doing some wonderful work just working with people who have been through their own traumas in this lifetime, let alone past lives. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, in Rwanda in 1994, there was a civil war where about 1 million people were killed in the space of 100 days. And that left almost 1 million orphans in that very small country. My friend and colleague, Dr. Lori Layden, fell in love with the country and was just lit on fire with a passion to help these people. She's been there 3 times, and on one of those trips, I went along too, to teach some energy work, self-help methods that the orphans could learn to help keep themselves balanced. Like, we taught them the heart massage that I mentioned at the beginning of this workshop. Mm-hmm. And Lori has also been working with an orphanage there. She asked them the first year she went, she said, "What do you need the most?" And they said, "Well, we need running water." They had 550 children there with no running water. So Lori arranged for them to get a well, and now they have running water.
Hmm.
And the next year she said, "What do you need the most?" And they said, "Electricity." And now she's got them electricity and a computer. So her work is, it really comes from her heart. We need, she needs financial backing for that from those of us who have, that if we can give to help support that project, it's great.
Well, we encourage people to go to createglobalhealing.org. That's createglobalhealing.org. Find out more about this project. There is actually a project that you were referring to.
Yes, Project Light is a comprehensive program for the orphans there, which not only teaches them self-help skills, but they need job skills. They need a way to train so that they can make a living without relatives. And many of the children lost every single living member in their whole family network. They're really, once they leave high school, they have nothing. They have no money, no skills, no place to live, and they wind up on the street. So if they can have skills to use their gifts and their talents, that's it's like, instead of giving someone a fish, it teaches them how to fish. She is working to teach them how to fish so they can get independence.
And that website, once again, is createglobalhealing.org. You can get further information about Project Light and the work that that Lori Layden is doing, a local Santa Barbaran who is trying to help people in other parts of the world who have gone through their own traumas. We're talking with Barbara Stone, PhD, author of Invisible Roots, and also the website souldetective.net. And we're talking about the influence of our past lives on our present lives, the past life trauma, which you can basically get healing from, if you will, so that it will liberate your present life. And I wonder, are you using some form of intuition, psychic ability in terms of tapping into or determining whether or not, going back to my example, whether or not what I am struggling through with that period of today had to do with past life or just, you know, what I've experienced in this lifetime in terms of, and I don't want to use the wrong words here, in terms of offering suggestions for relieving and releasing that trauma so that I can not experience it again.
Yes. Well, if you're asking me if that was from a past life or a current one, we'd have to go into that much deeper. But my intuitive response, it just sounds like an overload of frustration.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And one of the things everybody can do when they find themselves getting tense is to consciously do some slow, deep breathing, because that calms the body down. And Richard, I want to say something else about trauma and how to avoid past life trauma. I want to talk about the transition when people leave the body, when the spirit leaves the body.
Mm-hmm.
In our country, we don't have a lot of guidance as to what it's like when the spirit leaves. I believe that consciousness existed before we incarnated, and it exists after we leave the body. For instance, when a spirit leaves, the spirit can still see everything, hear everything, but if they don't understand what just happened, they can become very confused, and they don't know why everyone stopped talking to them or why people walk right through them. So I'm just going to put out a little suggestion for our listeners that if you have a loved one who's in the process of transitioning, we call that the death process, when the spirit leaves the body, just say out loud to them in the room, Mom or Dad, your spirit just left your body. Look for the light and talk about any relative that's a loved one that's already died. And you can say, you know, and Aunt so-and-so is probably coming to get you. Look for them or some other beloved person that you know has already crossed.
You know, that's a subject that we talk about quite frequently on the program, transitioning. We get into conversations with a wide variety of people who have either had near-death experiences or they work with people who have had them. But we've also talked with people who have experienced out-of-body experiences, which are different. It's an interesting distinction between the two because, from my perspective, the soul or spirit of the individual, the essence, leaves the body. And not permanently, because obviously they've come back. They've had a near death, but it hasn't been death. And I think you're right. I've heard it described as sort of taking off a real heavy overcoat. I mean, that's it.
Yes.
That was the deck. It's not that big of a deal.
And the more we clear our present life trauma, the more we let go of our rage and our anger, our guilt and our grief, the lighter we are and the higher our spirit can float up when we leave the body. If we're too dragged down with carrying around a lot of emotional burdens, sometimes that chains a spirit to the earth, and then they have past life trauma. Their life they just finished has been so traumatic, their energy couldn't rise back into the spirit realm like it's supposed to when we die.
Have you ever experienced another person's essence, if you will? Is that something that's a gift, if you will? That's the only way I can term it. Do you have that gift of being able to see souls or essences, or do you feel them? Is there any kind of experience that you do have?
I don't see them as a psychic would see them. I don't see them in my visual field. I listen to the stories my clients tell me, and I can almost spot, like if they say, I feel like somebody else is inside me, and it's been ever since I had that surgery. I just don't feel like myself. I say, ah, surgery, yes, that opens a psychic gate. Maybe an earthbound spirit from the hospital went home with you. And the way I see it is through muscle testing.
Okay.
That's a way that anyone can be psychic, by checking the truth or untruth of a statement. So I just go through my checklist. There's an earthbound spirit involved, see if that's true or false. There's a past life involved, true or false. There's an energetic cord involved. That would be an energetic link with a living person, until I find something that tests as it's true.
You know, there are those who have heard of kinesiology or muscle testing, and some who have not. I remember when I was first introduced to it, probably 20 years ago or more. And it was a very simple test. You take your thumb and your first finger, your index finger, and you make a loop. And you take your other, it says you take your right hand and do that. Take your left hand, and through that first loop, you do the thumb and first finger. And then you try to pull them apart. Now, of course, you can do it just by virtue of just doing that. But then what you do is you put the loops back together, you interlock the loops once again, and then you say yes, and the loops don't come apart. And, you know, and the body doesn't lie. If you say no, and this was just the simple process of learning how to do this, then you would go through the process of if you could hold, let's say there was a medication that you really didn't feel comfortable taking. And again, it's entirely up to the individual as to whether or not they should do this, and you should consult your physician if you're not certain as well. We're not asking you to self-diagnose, but or maybe a food or something of this nature, or a trip that you want to take, and should I do it today or tomorrow? Again, the body doesn't lie, so you put those loops together. Should I take this trip? If the hands come apart, don't take the trip that particular moment. Better time to take it, do the loops again, and pull, and if they don't come apart, oh, okay, yeah, there is a better time. Now you have to determine what that is. I don't know. That's a very simplistic way of doing it, but it was a very practical and easy way to do it.
Yes, and it works. And one thing I need to really say before we end here, when the actual healing happens and I help someone with a past life trauma, I help their spirit cross to heaven, I don't do that. I ask their guardian angels to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard, when I'm in the room, when an angel comes to take an earthbound spirit home, there is a flood of pure joy that goes through the room, and it's almost like the light turns a golden hue. It's just such a beautiful, joyful feeling.
Well, I have to say that I have experienced it. I've used other techniques for the same purpose, and it is extraordinary. And what's interesting is that I have been exposed to and learned so many different techniques. There hasn't been one that has resonated with me that I have used from day one and never stopped using. Because again, we had a conversation last week where, if everything is energy and then we're all part of the one and all of this, then what difference does it make which modality that you use? Whatever works for you works. And if you want to switch them off and do this one today and that one tomorrow, there are enough. You could probably do one every day for 10 years. But it's really, the bottom line is what you feel comfortable doing and what works for you. In terms of this particular book, Barbara, Invisible Roots, How Healing Past Trauma Can Liberate Your Present. We were talking about all of this. People can find this book both at your website, Invisible Roots. I would take it's probably also available through, say, Amazon.com and even at your local bookstore.
At your local bookstore, you'd probably need to order it, but it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Borders.
And then, of course, there's also souldetective.net. People can go there to find out more about you, your workshops, seminars, and different types of things that are going on. And I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program and sharing your insights into how you utilize reincarnation and past life experiences to help people to better free themselves of the bonds, the chains that are holding them back from achieving the things they want in this life.
Yes, you said it so well. Thank you, Richard.
Well, thank you for being on the program, and I hope that we can stay in touch with you. And if you're in the area, we'd love to have you come in studio. I'd love to talk to you face-to-face. And so if you're ever out here in the California area, Santa Barbara area, please look us up.
Thank you. I will do that.
Great. I'm Richard Dugan, and this has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are here every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We're also available online at richarddugan.com, where we stream live every Saturday. And the archives are available at richarddugan.com, the radio show. And we encourage you to check those out, as well as check out the schedule of guests that we have upcoming. I've already mentioned that we have Greg Braden coming up January 1st. Oh, can you believe that? Saturday, January 1st, 2011. I love that day because it's 010111. It's a binary day. It's the first one of that year. And it'll be kind of fun. So we're looking forward to talking with him then. During the rest of the month of December of this year, we're going to be talking about 2012. So we hope that you will join us for that, demystifying it and taking off the veil of fear and scariness. Until next Saturday at this same time, have a great week. And always remember to join us. Love to Lal.